This is Nathan East hanging with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio, The Zone.
Keeps running out. I'm wondering how I can make the most of this moment with you. Here in my arms, it's where you belong. Baby, give your hand to me. I want to.
Had a fantastic quarter weekend as we move right along, man. The year is moving real fast, but you know, I always say how things change but remain the same. I'm actually following. It's very rare that the teddy bear really gets hyped and excited, but I must admit I'm a little bit jaded, so I'm extra excited. I have been following this very talented brother for years. My goodness, extremely gifted musician, great artist, super producer, and now he has blessed us with a brand new album, 1969, from the one and only Mr. Andre Simone. So on behalf of the Teddy Bear and the Zone, it is my welcome, it's my pleasure to welcome to LOTL Radio, the one and only Andre Simone. Brother Simone, man, it's been a long time coming. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing real good. Man, thank you so much for taking time out of a very busy schedule and joining us today, man. There's so many things to get into. We're both 21, man, but I'm listening to this album. I've listened to this album.
Oh, several... again. Oh, yes.
Oh, man, yes, Lord. Hey, man, the perm was a beautiful thing, man. The Jerry Curls were fantastic. I'm loving
You got me.
Yeah.
My Jerry Curl, no. Mine was a cold wave.
Oh, it was a cold wave.
Okay, it was Jerry Curl.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm not going front, man. That's what I had. It was a beautiful experience, man. But I've had an opportunity to listen to the album on several occasions, and, man, the 12 tracks are just incredible. It's amazing to me that we come from an era in the 60s, civil rights, Black Panther movement, and here we are, 2017, and it seems like 1969 is being revisited all over again.
All
the social upheaval is brilliant. And I want you to speak your heart and your thoughts on what you're seeing overall is taking place in this country.
You know, it's almost, where do you begin? I mean, I'd have to start with just brutality, police brutality, and what's going on, you know, in the urban cities and Black neighborhoods, because, you know, that's what was happening where I grew up in Minneapolis. There was a lot of just, you know, just unfair treatment of Blacks in the community. And, you know, you thought after all the marching and all the, you know, just riots, you know, and all the, you know, fighting and all the sacrifices, that, you know, we had changed. We had, as a society, you know, people had realized, come to realize that, you know, we're all in this thing together. And so we had all, you know, bind together and do what we got to do, evolving. And it seems like somewhere along the line, somebody didn't get that memo, you know, and it just seems like police are getting away with anything they want. You know, their laws are just their laws, not laws of the people and people who pay taxes, because that's the reality. We pay taxes just like everybody else. We go to businesses, we go to movie theaters, we go to grocery stores. We are a part, we are a fabric and a major part of this country, of the world. And, you know, I mean, it's time that we stand up, you know, again, you know, because we stood up back then. It's time we do it again, because it's the same thing going all over again, you know. And the only thing now is music isn't really supporting what's going on right now. There's no artists really standing out, very few, put it that way, standing out and being the Curtis Mayfields or the James Browns or the Bob Marleys or the Bob Dylans. The list goes on and on, you know, with people who stood up and said, you know what, you know, I'm going to put my career, you know, on the line here, and I'm going to stand up for evolution and for the people, for all people. And I think that's, you know, sacrifice. It takes sacrifice to get from point A to point B if you want to evolve as a civilized nation.
Absolutely. You know, I'm somewhat of a movie buff when I do have the time. And the things that I've seen transpire over the last couple of years, especially with this past year's election, there's a movie called The Purge, Election Day. And when I look at the movie and I see the things that transpired in the movie and how you had a certain government in the United States set up to systematically destroy the poor, make sure the rich get richer, the poor get poor. And I kind of look at where we're at right now and said, my goodness, we're rolling back to the Jim Crow times where anything that's quote unquote this non-white is considered less than human, as you just stated, as far as police brutality. It's not ask questions, let's shoot first. And your album is very hard-hitting and really direct and to the point, expressing the ills and woes of this country right now. What was your thought process when you went into the studio and you started working on 1969?
Well, I had been, you know, obviously, you know, when, you know, Trayvon was murdered, I wrote a song about that, you know, I mean, because I have a young son. I have three boys, you know, but I have a young son. And, you know, that could have been my son. It could have been my nephew. It could have been my cousin. You know, I mean, and that kind of thing just cannot. And then Freddie Gray, and the list goes on and on, you know. It just, those could be, that could be my family. You know, and stuff like that. You know, I mean, it only takes, you know, something happening to, you know, the wrong, there should be no right or wrong person. If it happens to one person, it should be wrong. But my thing is, right now, is writing a song about it, you know, and speaking out. Because, you know, what I've seen, because I'm very, very much aware and very, very much in the fabric of life, of the world. I'm not one of those kind of artists that, you know, made a little money and then stepped out of the, you know, on some, you know, little island or something, you know, or whatever. I'm just in it, you know, and I've been in it and I'm going to stay in it. Because my whole thing, what fuels me and what gives me inspiration is people around me and evolution in the world and seeing these things change. And just so, I mean, I just think what I've seen that inspired me to really get into this album the way that I did is I think a lot of people have lost touch with history. You know, you always hear, you know, you got to know where you came from to know where you're going. You know, you have to, it's good to understand, you know, all the suffering, because I think a lot of people just, you know, lost the plot. They forgot, you know, what happened, what Martin Luther King was all about. They forgot what Malcolm X was all about. They forgot what the Black Panthers was all about, you know. And, you know, I think somehow or another they've sort of turned those into cartoons or something like that, like Rosa Parks and, you know, artists cracking jokes about, you know, people who sacrifice to give them the opportunity that they have. That just doesn't work for me. You know, I think you have to appreciate those who went before you and sacrificed. You can go on and do whatever you want. You know, in fact, I think that, you know, as a culture, you know, just I think we have to get beyond, you know, painting ourselves in a corner. Because I think in a lot of ways, we have let Hollywood, you know, paint us in a corner and make us this one sort of dimensional culture that's over there that's doing that. And no. Right. I mean, if you're out in the world, you realize, man, our culture is extremely diverse. You know, it's like my music. I do rock, I do funk, I can do anything I want. You know, but the reality is, you know, the way things are, the way they've kind of, you know, corporations have put us in a box, they've made it seem like, you know, well, if you ain't really doing this kind of music, then you ain't really black. You ain't really this. You ain't really down with that. That's absurd. That's letting somebody else win your game. And I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do whatever I want, but I'm still going to speak out on anything and everything that affects me and this culture and every culture, really, because I think we gotta realize we're all in this thing together, sink or swim. If we let some clown that's running this country, you know, screw everything up, it's not just going to screw everything up just for one culture. It's going to screw everything up for everybody all around the world. So we have to stand up. I mean, and that's what this album is all about. It's really a clarion call to everybody to just wake up and realize that your world is changing. And if you don't get involved, if you don't get into it, you're going to stand around and you're going to wonder what happened after it goes down. You're going to ask yourself, or your kids are going to ask yourself, or your grandkids, where were you? You know, we were there, didn't you? Did you just stand around and watch? Or did you get involved? And my kids are going to know. Anybody is going to know that I got involved. You know, I put it all on the line. And that's what it's really all about. We got to all put it on the line. Journalists, you know, radio hosts, listeners, you know, everybody. This is an all hands on deck, you know, moment right now. And we have to look at it. We have to realize it. We have to understand that is what it is, period.
Without question. And I'm dating myself a little bit. I remember an interview you did, oh my God, maybe it had been 20 years ago. And you expressed even then that monetary goals never meant anything to you. Your mindset, right, and your music had always revolved around social commentary. Making a statement, as you said, if you're not willing to stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
And I see in today's music where the monetary goal supersedes as far as having something today, something to say, and just accepting the quote-unquote status quo. It's okay to sit up here and call each other the N-word, but it's just someone that's non-African-American called you that word. You're ready to fight. I said, wait a minute.
Right.
You can't have it both ways. You know, you can't have your cake and ice cream. You can't have your cake and ice cream. You have to be willing to stand for something. For you, and I said, if I ever had an opportunity to speak to you, I said, I want to tell you something right up front. Even in the beginning, I could never see you in a group because you were too much of your own man. And that has epitomized your career by doing your own thing, as far as being so diverse, as you said, doing rock, doing a little bit of blues, doing gospel. Mm-hmm. You've always had a mixture of different kinds of music that you've been able to do. What does it mean to you to have that kind of level of freedom and expression where you're able to sit up and come up with such a fantastic album like 1969?
You know, I mean, it's a blessing and it's a gift. I mean, you know, I've been very, very, very lucky and very gifted. You know, I mean, because to be honest, I don't ever remember learning how to play anything. You know, and I know that sounds crazy. That sounds absolutely insane. But I never remember sitting down and going, I'm going to learn how to play the guitar. I never did.
Right.
It just seems like I remember I just knew how to play. And bass, I mean, bass, I just, you know, my father, and I think it has a lot to do with, you know, obviously, genes. My dad was a musician and he's an inventor. You know, so, I mean, you know, I think I got it, you know, from him. And my mother was an activist. You know, she was a strong, strong black woman who, you know, took no prisoners, didn't take no anything from anybody. And I've been the same way. I mean, I don't care about money. I don't care about, you know, like, I mean, the reason why I stopped making records way back in the day is because I hated record companies. And, you know, unlike Prince put Slave on his face, which is great. I just said, you know, I went into the office and said, let me off my label, and they wouldn't do it.
Right.
I said, well, I'll never record another album for you. And, I mean, I paid a price. I couldn't. That's when I started producing, and then, you know, I produced Joe. I said, I'll just go make money doing this. So I produced Joe.
Right.
You know, had a bunch of hits and produced, you know, a bunch of different people. And, you know, but I just playing the game, you know, playing somebody else's game is always a hard thing for me, because the reality is, they got to create the rules. They, as it is now, they created the rules, all the games, everything, you know, movies, you know, music, you know, everything that we're dealing with now, we're playing somebody else's game and somebody else's rules, you know, so we have to dance to whatever, you know, and that just, that's hard for me, because like you said, I'm not, you know, I mean, as much as I love Prince and I love him, and I mean, people have no idea how close we really were. So, you know, but, you know, it's hard being in, so I never grew up and said, oh, I want to grow up and be in somebody's band. You know, we were in a band. We were kids. We were talking about we were going to be like the Beatles. We're going to be bigger than the Beatles. We're going to blah 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 blah. You know, and so, you know, when things went the way that they did, and a lot of people really have no idea how it really transpired, because I realize there's a lot of people out there rewriting history, a lot of groups out there playing his music, rewriting history, saying things that just absolutely are insane. You know, they don't even know how they came to be. And I'm very tempted. It's hard for me not to just go, whoa, 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 whoa. You guys are out there talking about stuff you don't even know about. But that's a whole nother story. And, hey, let people go do their thing. And, I think it's a beautiful thing. But I just think you got to be your own person. You know, you got to, doing tributes as far as stuff like that is great. But I think, again, you got to play your music. You know, write your songs. You know, I don't mind doing tributes. Like, I got to tell you, man, I love playing some of Prince's stuff. I mean, Tattoo wrote some amazing songs. He wrote songs people haven't even heard. I mean, I got songs of his that people haven't even heard that, you know, that I have, you know. But, you know, I'm not going to, put them out there. That's his thing. And, you know, I don't want to, I don't know, tributes. But I think it's good to write your music as well and make yourself, make your statement, you know what I mean? Because we all of us, every single one, and you have to stand up, you gotta be counted. You know, what's the point? Unless you're just, it's about making some money, which is fine too, but I just, I think that at the end of the day, people will respect you a lot more, and you'll respect yourself a lot more if you find out what it is that you're about, and then you follow that dream, because you're gonna touch somebody. Somebody's gonna go, you know what? You know, I can understand where he's coming from. You know, I really can. I can connect with his soul. I can connect with his spirit. I can connect with the power which he is. He's coming from. And I just think too few people in the position use that, and they should, because I think people are looking to be inspired. You know, and if you are in that position and you squander it, I think that's the worst. To me, that's the worst thing you can do. That's one of the. Part of the reason why I came back after taking such a long, long hiatus, because I thought, you know what, I have a lot to offer. I mean, I'm better now as a musician and a singer and an artist than I've ever been. So I'm not going to let somebody else's idea of what entertainment and artists are supposed to be about. Somebody says, well, if you don't still have Huggy prints around your waist and you ain't, you just didn't graduate from, from high school, then you're done. Because, I mean, I can tell you right now, any one of them artists right now, we can take it to the stage. And believe me, I'm going to be fine. So, but I just, I love music. I love entertainment. I love speaking out for people and for what's going on right now. And I think that's why, this album for me was the album that I needed to make right now.
I think for me, that really caught me by surprise, because you had been away so long. And then I know when my program director hit me up and said, hey, you know what? You know, Andre has a new album out called The Stone. I said, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I said, Andre who? Andre Simone? I said, yeah, he's back. I said, wait a minute. I said, he pulled a John Lennon and went on an extended vacation and just kind of disappeared. And he's back. And I said, okay. All right, I'm going to sit back and wait and see what he's going to do. Because I've never known you as a person just to do one thing and not continue. No. Because every time you get in, you have to take it to another level. And now here we are with 1969. And I said, okay, the Captain America of rock and roll, Lord have mercy. He said, oh, Lord. I said, the prodigal brother has returned. What are you most proud of as far as the new album is concerned? What has you most proud of? What gives you more gratification more than anything else?
You know, I think what's really been gratifying is the reception that I've been getting from people, just the response from the album, I don't do it, obviously these days you don't do it music for money, because you're not going to make a whole lot of money, because it's just a different paradigm, but it is what it was always for. Like when I was a kid and, growing up in my mom's house, me and Prince would be in, and he'd be down in the basement, I'd be in the attic. You know, what we would do is, we would write a song and we'd play it for my family, because I got a big family. And the reality is, you play a song, you say, hey, I want you guys to hear this new song. And, you know, you get everybody in the room, either in the living room, or they come up to my room or down the basement, you know, wherever. And you play it. And there'd be like about 15 people in the room, right? And after the song went off, there was still 15 people in the room. You knew it was, you had something, you know, you had a good song. You know, if you played it and it was just like, you know, like 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds still crawling around the stage, you realize you got to go back to the drum. And that's what you do it for. And really now it's kind of going back to that, you know, is like you write, you put an album out, and people, it's just a little, instead of it being, you know, my family and, you know, my nieces and nephews crawling around, it's people out there who are living life who actually go, you know what, this dude is saying something in this, or this is a different kind of thing, he's coming from a different place. It's the same thing. And, you know, believe me, back in those days we would get criticized, you know, I mean, because my family didn't hold no punches. They'd come and they'd say, no, nah, man, that's supposed to be jazz, that ain't real jazz, that ain't real rock, that ain't real funk. You know, I mean, we had the critics, you know, and they're nothing like the critics that, you know, people write stuff about, you know, different artists, different albums and things like that, different tours, and that was nothing compared to what we used to have to deal with just at the crib, you know. So it's like, oh, they said that about, oh, man, that ain't nothing. Because my brothers would be like, oh, man, you need to go back to that drawing. My sisters would be like, well, that ain't funky. Who knows the answer to that? This was the environment that we had to work in, you know. So,
oh, my goodness.
So you had to come.
It sounds like you had your own personal Apollo experience at home.
Yeah, no. Yeah. You have no idea. You know, even little ones. Even I remember one of my little nephews, man, they come up like, you know, he came up to me one time, he said, Uncle Andre, how come you got an earring in your ear?
Oh,
I said,
God.
I don't know, man. It's cool. I like earrings. What? Well, should I start calling you Auntie Andre? I said, you bet. Should I call you Auntie Andre? Like, are you kidding me? But this is what I'm talking about. This is the environment that, you know, that makes you have to come correct with your music and everything else. I mean, you know, you realize that whatever you do, you got to be convicted. You got to be committed, because, you know, somebody out there is going to always, you know, you got to be yourself, because somebody out there is always going to say, well, this ain't this, or you ain't that, or that ain't real, or whatever. And as long as you know in your heart that you're doing what you want to do and you're committed to it, then I think you're bulletproof, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. People that are extremely close to you, not the Andre Simone, but the Andre Anderson. Everyone that I've heard speak about, they said the special kind of relationship that you had with your mother, and how much she played such a pivotal role as far as your upbringing and just having, I say what I mean what I say, and that's it. I wanted to know from your perspective, How much of an influence was your mother with you as far as your career and having that kind of support system?
You know, it was, you know, there's no measure. You know, there's no, it would be off the chart. You know, she was, you know, all of us in our house, she was our biggest fan, but she was our biggest, you know, I wouldn't say critic, but she would just make us understand that, you know, you got to do the right thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, so there was a lot. I mean, it was across the board. It's hard to, you know, it's really hard to measure. And I have to say, man, Prince's dad as well, you know, because, you know, we got to be really close. And his dad would give us lectures when we were growing up, when we were kids. And it was a very consistent message, you know, because my dad was a musician as well. But he didn't really, you know, encourage me, you know, in a musical from a musical standpoint. You know, I think he might have wanted me to get into, you know, science, and, you know, he wanted me to be a hockey player and all kinds of other stuff. But, you know, but he wanted me to be an architect. I mean, that's all the things that I used to think about when I was a kid. But, you know, but Prince's dad was always about music, and that, you know, because I was gonna be a musician. That was it. So to hear somebody, you know, who was doing it, constantly giving us lectures. So I think the combination between my mom and allowing us really to be free, you know, because a lot of times we got away with being able to live a kind of a lifestyle that, you know, probably a lot of, you know, kids at our age didn't get a chance to do. My mom let us do that to a certain extent. She wasn't, you know, she wasn't like, you guys just go out. She would always tell you, you know, she would always tell us about, you know, the things to look out for, you know, so we were constantly aware. But she gave us free rein to create, to be able to, you know, do our music, you know. But she made sure that, you know, we had to be in school, had to go catch that bus, or with Prince's case, had to go catch a bus. My case, I had to just go out, and I was always, you know, fooling around, you know. But she was on our case and made sure we, you know, not only, you know, let us practice and make all, but she also made sure that we understood that it was important to get an education, and it was important to have respect for other people, not just think all about yourself, because it's easy to do. Because, you know, as you know, as teenagers, I mean, when we were in my mom's house, you know, our band started getting really popular. So, you know, we kind of were a little bit spoiled, you know. So,
right.
You know, my mom had to keep us in check, you know, I mean, because we definitely started getting a little out of hand, you know.
Right.
And really not really respecting, you know. And that's where I think, you know, she really came in and gave us that solid base and said, look, you know, you guys, maybe you guys are going to be famous one day, maybe not. But if you do, you need to understand you have to have respect for people. You have to respect yourself. And you have to carry yourself, you know, in a certain way. Otherwise, you know, nobody's going to care anything about you. And
right.
I think that's something that, you know, I know it stuck with me, and I believe it stuck with other people that were around.
It's very challenging to maintain that level of balance between between having a certain level of freedom, but also having structure at the same time. And I think
Absolutely. That
is something for everyone, not just being a musician, just being an ordinary person, ordinary people. It's very hard to maintain that kind of balance in your life. But man, you have done it, and I'm so glad to have you on here. And one of my favorite songs on the, oh, my pleasure, one of my favorite songs of the entire album, man, We All Need Something, man. Tell the listeners about that particular song on a new album.
Well, it speaks kind of for itself. I mean, because it's so true. I mean, you think about it, and, you know, when you ride around, like, sometimes, you know, I was living in New York for a while, and I was just back there doing a gig with a friend of mine, and we were driving through the streets, and we were listening. Yeah, I had played Martin Luther as one of the guys in the group. I was playing him that song, and he had said, "Man, I can see the video now." And as we were driving, I realized, because you could just see everybody, and they were all into these different things. You could tell this was their thing, you know, no matter what it was. And it was like, this is what they're doing to get from point A to point B. And I realized it connects and it resonates, because that's true. We all need something, regardless. I mean, you got people that are, you know, go to church, and that's what gets them, you know, that's what gets them through the day. That's what gets them through the week. That's what gets them through the year. You got people that got to go to work, you know, and, you know, some people love their job, some people hate their job, but, you know, we all need something one way or the other. Some people are in love or want to be in love. It goes on and on, you know. I mean, you got the negative. You got some people, you know, are involved in drugs and all kinds of negativity, you know, and all the different things. And the key is to find out what that is. You know, I mean, you know, you talk about what's going on all around the world. If you can find out what it is, what do you need? What can we do, you know, to give you what you need, or to help you get what you need, so you don't feel like you need to do something negative to somebody else?
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
And it really comes down to that, because that's the way to look at it, from kind of the way that I was talking about. We all need something, you know. I mean, and even, you know, some of the other songs, like Black Lives Matter, I was sitting next to this guy who looked all jittery, and he didn't, you know, and he you know, I think his situation wasn't really all that great. And I was just thinking, you know, this dude, I mean, I'm sitting here, and I'm, you know, I don't drink lattes, but You know, I was having a cappuccino, you know, but it just right. didn't, you know, lyrically that doesn't quite work. I was sitting drinking my cappuccino. It doesn't quite work lyrically, but, you know, you get the idea. But the guy next to me was like, you know, and I was thinking, you know, you don't know what somebody else's situation is, you know, right. so what can you do to make everybody's situation better is what we should be doing. Because then when you got that fancy car, you don't have to feel like you're riding around your fancy car and in your fancy house or whatever, and somebody else ain't got a pot to piss in, excuse my language, you know, right. and that's wrong. You know, you can't feel comfortable. I can't feel comfortable like that, you know, because, you know, it's like, you know, at some point, they're going to be like, well, he's got, I want to get what he's got. And if I go hit him upside the head, then I can get that, you know. And it's just, I mean, not that it should be that way or anything like that, or that it's going to be that way. But the reality is, you know, you have to work and maybe help other people, you know, realize their dreams so they can have something. So they, you know, we all need something, you know, so you can help them get what they need, you know, positively to get them through the night, you know, get them through that week, year. Yeah.
You know, the funny thing is, listening to the song, that particular song, it harkens me back to a time where Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes had a song called Be For Real. And I said, okay, mm-hmm. you know what? I said, I'm with this. We all need something. And that's what the teddy bear is here to do, to give you what you need. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Let's get into one of the many tracks from the new album, of course, 1969, Andre Simone with We All Need Something. You're in the zone of LOTO.
Since I was cut from my own
Morrissey, Andre Simone, of course, from the new album 1969, We All Need Something. You're in the zone of LOTL Radio. Being a father like yourself, I have a son who's actually going to be, 16 this year. My goodness, you're talking about surviving, yeah. Lady, Lauren Emerson.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a trip. I wanted to ask you, father to father, when you sit down and you have conversations with your sons, what exactly do you tell them as far as expressing to them what does it mean to be a black man, a person of color, in today's society, to help them, I guess, get somewhat better prepared for what they have to deal with when they're out on their own?
Oh, man, there's so many things. I mean, it's like what I was told, you know, when I was a kid, because I think a lot of times, you know, I don't mean to get long-winded about any of this, but it is what it is, and it's something that I think, right. You know, we have to really address, you know, because, you know, it's crazy out there. You know, you want to think that it's not, but it is. It's crazy out there, and that's what I have to tell my sons. You know, it's like, you know, it'd be one thing if you could just deal with law enforcement, you know, straight up, like, hey, listen, I got a situation, I got a flat tire. Or, you know, or, hey, can you tell me how to get from, you know, point A to point B, you know, blah, 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 blah. But you can't do that because you could do that, and then the next thing you know, you're on the ground, and they're shoving a gun in your face, and if you do one thing, you could get shot. So,
right.
You know, I mean, for asking directions or for being in a neighborhood for some reason that, you know, that somehow somebody doesn't feel like you belong in, like that should be happening in 2017. But... So I have to tell my son, you know, you got to watch out for all that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, yeah, you got to be respectful. You got to respect law, you know, authority. But it's hard. It's almost hard to tell my sons that when they don't respect you, because I think, you know, you have to, you know, respect has to be earned. And that's what I was taught, you know. I mean, and then the other thing I was taught, you know, obviously my parents told me, you know, when you go out there, you know, it's a different situation, you know, than you've been here at home, you know. So you go out into society, once you, you know, leave our neighborhood, because, you know, I mean, in an odd sort of way, you know, where I grew up in the black neighborhood, it was a black neighborhood that was basically patrolled by police to sort of keep you in, you know. It's like an open air prison, which is kind of crazy, you know. I mean, it's like, as long as you don't go out and try to go into any of those other neighborhoods, as soon as you go cross that line, because there was a definite line in our community, as soon as you cross it, you're probably going to get stopped. And then it's like, well, where are you going? It's like, why? Who asked you to want to know? You know, going where I want to go. You know, so it's hard for me to not say stuff like that. So I have to teach my son, don't say stuff that I would say. Just say, are you my mama? You don't look nothing like my mama. Or my daddy, or my auntie, or nobody I know. So why are you asking me anything? Why don't you get in? You know, it's hard for me not to tell my son, don't say the things. Because I said that, and I wound up, you know, I wound up in a situation a few times, you know. Because I just, it's hard for me to really give respect to somebody who hasn't earned it, you know, based on what I've seen. You know, now, when I see, you know, something different, then they got all the respect, because, you know, I know it's not an easy job being a police officer, you know, but you have to tell your sons, and I've had to tell my sons, look, you know, on so many occasions, that there's a lot of things you got to watch out for, you know, as far as just being out in the world. You know, I mean, as hard as it is, especially now, because we've devolved instead of evolved. So now, for some reason, and I don't know what it is, you know, for some reason, it seems like society, those who are in control of police and law enforcement, feel like somehow or another there's a segment of the population that can just be absolutely disrespected and nothing will happen. There's no consequence, you know? I mean, and that's really frightening. That's frightening because, you know, I just know that that's the kind of thing that cannot be sustained. At some point, all hell is going to break loose.
Right.
You know? Because, and it is. I mean, that's why I'm speaking up now, because I got to tell my son. Because I'll tell you one thing, if anything ever happens to any one of my sons, It's done. I don't care anything about music. I don't care anything about anything. It's wartime for me, period. You know, so it's like, you know, and I, you know, believe me, I don't care nothing about nothing. I will become the absolute revolutionary. You know, I mean, the only thing that my guitar will be for will be for a whole nother thing. So, since you don't want to be there, let me go there. Let me be that. But, you know, let's just, why don't you just, you know, try to follow as much as you can, be respectful to others, gain the respect that you want to have, you know, and, you know, hopefully it'll be reciprocal.
Without question, you know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, it's very challenging. It's very difficult being a law enforcement or being in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I said, I concur, but it's also difficult and challenging being a parent because we have to monitor and have the safety and welfare of our children, knowing that once my child or my children walk out that front door, every minute I'm concerned not what's taking place in the neighborhood, but I'm concerned if my child is going to be stopped or pulled over by law enforcement, wondering if they're going to make it back home safely. But you are a connoisseur of history, and you know just as well as I do, this is not something that has happened overnight. We can go all the way back to history to the Roman Empire, to the rise of the neo-Nazi. We can go all the way back to Joseph Stalin. It has always been that kind of mentality that anyone is quote-unquote, that is not quote-unquote white, has always been looked upon less than human. The only thing different now in this country, there's always been a scab that's been there, but we've used a band-aid to cover it. Now the band-aid is off the scab, and it's been revealed to everyone. At the end of the day, what do you want this album to reflect and let people know what it represents in its totality?
I want it to represent a wake-up call. You know, I mean, I really, you know, I want it to represent a wake-up call for people to, if somebody can listen to this album, and because there's a lot of things in every, pretty much in every song that, you know, is on there, that's a message. You know, I mean, the song the title of the album, 1969, is about, it's like, you know, it's a broken record. I don't know if you hear that sound, but that's the sound of a broken record, literally.
Right.
Playing and skipping and playing and skipping, and then the first newscast of a black, unarmed black man being shot is supposed to be said, you know, basically now. And then the other one was said, you know, back in the 60s, back in 1969. So it's just repeating itself. It's just, and this has got to stop. And so that's my message. The overall message for this album is it's a wake-up call. And I want people to realize, look, you got to start paying attention to what's going on. You got to get involved. You can't just, you know, you got to vote. You know, voting matters. Getting involved matters. A lot of people think, And they want you to think that because then they win. Then they can control you. If we really would have had things together when Barack Obama was president, we could have brought situations and said, listen, this is what we need to do for this. Here's a whole package. Let me give you a, you know, this is our package right here. We need this right here. And, you know, like everybody else, everybody came through the door. And then they had their perspective. You know, this is what we want. We want this for that. We want that for this. And you know, and a lot of times when that's the only thing that comes through your door, you know, then you go with it. But, you know, if somebody doesn't take the time to put a package together and present it to those in power, then nothing ever changes. And so you got to make those, you got to get in, you got to do the nuts and bolts, you got to do the work, you got to do the research, and you got to believe that you can make change happen because you can. You know, obviously you can. You know, with all the different things that we've been through, if we shouldn't realize any through this evolutionary process, change can happen.
You have to get involved.
Without question, I feel like if we took that necessary act of involvement that we should have taken during the voting election process, we wouldn't have the giant peach in office right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's neither here. That's neither here nor there. But I want all listeners to remember, you can purchase the album. The album is available right now on iTunes, Amazon, and also Let Your Fingers Do the Walking. Stop by andresimone.bandcamp.com. You can also purchase the album. And also be sure to purchase the 2014 album, The Stone. Brother, it has been a long running process, man. But like they say, great things come to those who wait, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us today and all the many listeners. And oh, one more thing, man, I'm going to tell you something. I never regret this. A friend of mine, we had this bet. This was when I was still living in Los Angeles about 20 some odd years ago, man. Mm-hmm. And we grew up, I mean, just loving the whole concept, man, of just you, Prince, Dez, Bobby, Matt. It just was a beautiful experience. And I remember telling my friend during that time, I said, I bet you. I said, the first person that leaves the group is going to be Andre. He said, well, why do you say that? I said, I guarantee you. He said, well, why do you say that? I said, because number one, I said, in a lot of ways, him and Prince are alike. They're both strong-headed. They're both opinionated. And I said, they bounce to the beat of their own drum. So when Dirty Mind came and gone and I heard you left, I said, I knew that was going to happen. But you know what, man? I'm glad you did. Because you're your own person. You have your own vision. And I'm so pleased that you are back making great music. I've had an opportunity to see you perform a few times in Los Angeles recently. You know, the teddy bear keeps in the back and saying, man, mm-hmm. You're beautiful, man. It does my heart good, man, to see you doing your thing. And, man, much continued success. And whatever you need, please do not hesitate to let us know.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I want to come there. I mean, if you know some spots, let me know, and I will be there.
Hey, man, we got some spots down here, man, and you would definitely pack the house, man. You know, and, hey, well, all the ribs that you can eat. Lord,
I love ribs. I'm doing that. This Saturday, I'm cooking up some ribs, so, you know. Yeah. That sounds like a bet right there. I'm there.
Yeah, man, it's good. We will definitely make it happen, man. Much continued success on your journey, okay?
Thank you so much. You too. You take care.
Yeah, all right. God bless. The legendary Andre Simone here in the zone of LOTO Radio. Man. And remember, family, once again, the new album, 1969, is available on iTunes. It's also on andresimone.bandcamp.com. But for those who can live a little bit more adventurous, you can always head over to Amazon.com. And while you're there on iTunes, be sure to pick up his 2014 The Stone, and also to keep the comings and goings as far as upcoming tour dates, stop by Andre's official website. That's at AndreSimone.com. Also on Twitter at Andre Simone. On Instagram, that's at Instagram.com/A Simone. And also, last but certainly not least, on Facebook. That's at facebook.com/AndreSimone2012. While I got you here, you know, comfy and cozy like Linus's blanket, let's get lost in some more of the latest from Andre Simone, the title track, 1969, here in the zone of LOTO Radio.
About a dozen downtown businesses were boarded up Wednesday, and glass-littered sidewalks were There were few people here. Cincinnati Arch
playing a song. all night long. Light comes pouring in. It's 1969, all over again. Make that winning choice ringing in my ear through all these years. I can feel your clouds came rolling in. It's 1969, all over again. Get a job on the application.
feel black.